We are on page 996. We'll start again from the top line. Okay, the Torah is saying, last time we discussed at great length, by the way, Moshe Rabbeinu giving grass for the in the field for your animals. We discussed their souls that are called people, their souls that are called animals, feeling in God, not feeling in God. Moshe Rabbeinu feeds them with that level of understanding and feeling God. Okay? And he said like this, the problem is you're going to be full and you're going to eat and you're going to be full. Like we said, first you have to give your animals to eat and then you give yourself to eat. By drinking, we learned out from Rivka that it's the opposite. So the Torah says, top line, Pasuk 16, 996. What are you looking for? There's plenty of chumash from here. That's the problem, there's too many here. There's another one. Okay, so the Torah says like this, Hishamru lachem, be careful, because a lot of times when you have it too good, is when you start rebelling. And it's interesting, the test of poverty is not as severe as the test of wealth. And you see this historically, when the Jews were, so to speak, tortured for being Jews, there was poverty, the Jews stuck to their religion. Now with all the freedom, the Jews are assimilating at a very too great of a rate. So sometimes when it's too good, it's also no good. Yishavar lachem, you have to be careful. Panyivta levavchem, let your heart be seduced to all these good things that you're getting. Vesartem, and you will turn. Vavadetem alokim acherim, you'll worship other gods. Vishtachavisalem, and you'll start bowing down to them. This is what we left off last week. We're discussing other gods does not necessarily mean idols. It's anything a person idolizes. It could be food. It could be sports. It could be worshipping their own body, so to speak. There's a lot of things that people could be worshipping, and they're called Elokim Achedim. Others make them gods. And as we said many times, Elokim Achedim does not mean other gods. It means that others make them gods. Okay? Okay, so this is where we're up to. So the Torah says like this, V'chor af Hashem b'chem, Hashem will get angry at you. V'atas Hashemayim, will hold back the heavens, V'lo yiyamotor, and there won't be any rain. Before the Pasuk says, if you serve God, you keep the mitzvahs, Hashem will give rain in the proper time, at night, and the proper amount of rain, and everything will be good. If not, it's self understood, then the punishment comes. So then God will hold back the rain. There will not be any rain. And the earth will not give yield its produce. And you will be lost quickly. From the good land, the God is giving it to you. There's some interesting Hasidic word that it says, literally means, Hashem will get angry at you. So there's a Hasidic word that says, V'chara af, even when God gets angry, Hashem b'chem, God is still with you. V'chara af, even when God gets angry, Hashem b'chem, God is still with you. Because the Jew is still a Jew. He might be angry at us, he might be upset with us, but you know what? We're still here today. And all the history of God, the Jews sinning and doing all that, bottom 996. Hashem is still with us. So he says like this, he's going to hold back the heavens, there won't be any rain, the earth won't produce its produce, and in fact, at the end of the Chumash, in Parshas Ha'azinu, Hashem says, I want the heavens and earth to hear. Ha'azinu Hashemayim V'adabera, Parshas Ha'azinu. So it says, why did Hashem make the heaven and earth? Because they're existing forever. God says, what am I supposed to make a witness? People, they die. Objects die. The only thing that's going to be here forever is heaven and earth. So over there, Hashem says, Hazinu Hashemayim, listen heavens and I will speak, and Visishma Aretz. So over there, Rashi says an interesting thing. God makes the heaven and earth witnesses that the Jews should behave. There's a din, later on in Devarim we're going to learn, There's a pasuk that when the person is warned by witnesses, and then they sin anyway, and they get punished. So the Torah says, Yad ha'edim tia bo b'rishon el amisei. The witnesses are the first ones to kill him. In other words, when witnesses testify that a person committed a crime, and therefore he needs to be punished, the witnesses are the first ones to give the punishment. So the same thing Rashi says later in Hazinu, because God made the heaven and earth witnesses, that if the Jews are good, so therefore who are the first to punish and reward? The two witnesses. So therefore the Torah says the heaven will hold back the rain, and the earth will not give its produce, because these are the two witnesses punishing the Jews for not behaving. Just like the witnesses are giving the reward, so the witnesses here are going to be punishing the Jews for not doing it. And then you'll be vavadeta meheira, and you'll be lost quickly. Me'ala ha'aretz ha'teva, from the good land that Hashem neisen lachem, that God is giving you. Last time we left off, we said we're going to discuss it this week, if I remember correctly, that there's a difference between rain and dew. Here you see clearly that Hashem says about rain, if you behave, you will get rain. If you don't behave, you're not going to get rain. That's clear in the pasuk over here. Concerning dew, it says, Tal loy netzar. Dew will never stop. Whether a Jew behaves or doesn't behave, the Gemara says and the Medrash says, dew will never stop. Why? So if you remember, we learned a while ago about the mon. Mm. The mon was covered on top with dew and underneath with dew. One of the reasons we cover the challah, there's two reasons why we cover the challah, but one of the reasons why we cover the challah Friday night is because the mon, which the two challahs represent the mon, were covered with dew on top and dew on the bottom, so therefore that's one of the reasons why you cover the challah, to remind us of the mon. Another reason is because you don't want to embarrass the bread, because the bread is supposed to go before the wine, but you can't eat before Kiddush. But another reason it's brought down is because the mon was covered with dew. Another unique thing we find about dew, it says that when Hashem gave the Ten Commandments, it said, Al kol dibur v'dibur pachan nishmasan. The Gemara says, on every word that God said, the souls popped out of the body. By matan Torah, and Hashem gave the Torah. Every word God said, the souls popped out of the body. And the Gemara says in Shabbos that God revived them with the dew that He's going to resurrect the dead with. With the dew that He's going to resurrect the dead with. So you see that there's a very unique level of dew, that number one, it covered them on top and bottom. Number two, it's going to resurrect the dead. Number three, like we say, dew doesn't stop. So it says like this, what's the difference between dew and rain in a spiritual level? Rain represents that level of godliness that our behavior matters. Dew represents a relationship with God that behavior doesn't matter. And therefore, it's such a great level, we'll soon explain, that the dew will eventually resurrect the dead, because that dew comes from such a high level that he can even resurrect the dead, which is obviously a very lofty level of resurrecting the dead. In Kabbalistic language, in Hasidic language, Tal comes in the level of Kesed, and rain comes in the level of the worlds, the Sheva Midas, the six Midas, the seven Midas. Meaning like this. We said this many, many times. Most relationships, by the way, except parent and child, most relationships, and brothers and sisters, most relationships are based on behavior. If we behave nicely towards each other, we are friends. If we behave nicely towards each other, we are married. Any other relationship, all those types of relationships, you can stop. You can either divorce it, you can stop being friends, all those things are why? Because those relationships are not an essential bond. It's a relationship that's based on behavior. A much deeper level of relationship is a relationship like a parent and a child You can never divorce your kid. You're not more child if you behave. You're not less child if you don't behave. It's totally irrelevant behavior, because the essential bond between a father and a parent, and its mother also, between a parent and a child is such an essential bond that it doesn't matter on behavior. Yeah, it's good to have a nice relationship with your kids versus a less, not such a good relationship with your kids. But the bottom line is, they're not more kid or less kid whether you behave or don't behave. Because that relationship is not affected by behavior, because it's above behavior. It's deeper than behavior. By rain, Hashem says, that level of rain is dependent on our behavior. Therefore, the Torah says, you behave, you will get the rain in the time. You won't behave, the rain will stop. Because rain comes from a level of godliness, which behavior affects. Dew, on the other hand, is such a deep relationship with God that no matter how you behave, the dew is going to come anyway. And like the Gemara says, Rameir says, made even a song out of it, Ben kach uben kach bonai haim, whether they behave or not, they're still my kids. That's the level that dew reaches, and that's the high level of that relationship between Hashem and the Jew. So therefore, this only relates to rain, behavior, you get it, not behavior, you don't get it. Okay, then the pasuk continues, says like this, if samtem es dvora eila alavavchem, you should put these words on your heart.
What do you mean?
What
do you mean?
Explain in a second. But sometimes, Devar Eila, you should put my words, these words, Al Levavchem, Al Nafshchem, on your heart and on your soul. What does it mean? It means, like Rashi says, even after you go into Golos, even if after you exile, you should still study Torah. Why? Because when Mashiach comes and the exile stops, it shouldn't be a new thing. You should still know it from before. That's the simple meaning of what Rashi says. That you, even though you're going to be sad, and God will throw you out of the land, he said, Vavadita Mehedo, he's going to throw you out of the land. Nevertheless, the Torah continues, it says you should put the words on your heart, because, you know, it's still important anyway to have it. But in a deeper sense, what does it mean? V'samtem es dvore eila al levavchem v'al nafshechem. Like we said, it's not enough to know I'm a Jew. You need to feel I'm a Jew. In terms of putting it on your heart means you should feel it and on your soul. It's not enough to have the words of Torah in your brain. You need to put it on your heart. What does this mean? A lot of times a person can learn things in Torah, but they won't keep it. And I'm not interested in keeping it. You know it, but you're not keeping it. When you learn it and you feel it, so then you're going to keep it. Therefore, Judaism is a very unique, you can't even call it a religion. Because in order to appreciate Judaism, you need to live it. In order to appreciate Yiddishkeit, you need to live it. It's not... It's like any time you want to learn French, I'll give you an example. No. You want to learn French, there's only one way of really doing it right. You go to France, where they hate anybody that doesn't speak French, and you have no choice, you have to live French. You know what I mean? Or any other language, whatever it is. Because if you learn French in school, and the teacher's speaking the most of the time in English, and before it, you know, after you speak, you don't learn French. Okay, you want to learn French, you need to live French. You know, you have to go there and live it, because they won't look at you otherwise. Yeah, or they will pretend they don't know you. They don't know any other language. More so by Yiddishkeit, which is not a religion. It's actually a way of life. It's a way of life. So the Torah says, "V'samtem es dvora eila." All these words of the Torah needs to be put al levavchem v'al nafshechem, on your heart and your soul. You need to live it. Because if somebody will explain, this, I don't want to get into it now, But a lot of times, people meet. Okay, I'll talk about this for a second. A lot of times, boy meets girl. One's religious and one's not religious. Yeah? And they start talking about what Judaism is all about. And they, yeah, okay, I'll be after we get married, I'll be religious. There's a lot of times what they say, yeah? It doesn't work like that. You want to know if you're going to be religious or not. You can't know about it and say, okay, later I'll be religious. You have to live it to be able to know it. You need to live it. It's live it. No, what was the motto of our Hebrew school? Learn it, live it, love it. That's the motto of our Hebrew school. Learn it, live it, love it. And that's what Alevav Chavial Nafshecha means. It means live it and love it. Because then, you know what it is. And that's what it means. And then the Torah says like this. Now comes into the midst of tefillin. You should tie it for a sign on your hand. And it should be for a sign between your eyes. What? Ornament between your eyes.
Why they use it this time? It's not related to each other.
It is related. I'll explain what tefillin is. You'll know why it's alevav chavial nafshecha. Okay, first of all, let's see first the simple meaning of the pasuk. You should tie for a sign on your hands. Yeah? V'hoyu l'teitav is b'ineinecho, should be an ornament between your eyes.
Yes.
Because so there's a lot of aspects over here about the mitzvah of tefillin. Number one, the Torah says you have to time for a sign. By the way, it's very interesting. The Torah never says how often you have to put on tefillin. The Torah says time for a sign. Maybe it means once a lifetime, twice a lifetime. It doesn't say every day. So the Gemara learns out from other sentences, other psukim and chumash, that it has to be every day. It can't be once a week, once a month, once a year. It has to be every day. That's the mitzvah. And the mitzvah has to be in a way of ukshartam eisam leis. You have to tie him for a sign on your hand. It should be an ornament between your eyes. Now, tefillin is called an os, a sign. Therefore, Shabbos and Yom Tov, where Shabbos itself, the Torah says, ki osi b'ni u'b'neichem, it's a sign between me and you, and Yom Tov, which is likened to Shabbos, you don't need to wear tefillin. Why don't we wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov? The Torah doesn't say not to wear it on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Where do we get this thing of not wearing, now you're not allowed to wear tefillin on Shabbos, and it's forbidden to wear tefillin. It's forbidden to wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Why is it? Because the Torah says it should be tied for a sign. And the fact that the Torah says a sign, Shabbos is a sign, so if you have the sign of Shabbos and Yom Tov, you don't need the sign of tefillin. And that's the reason the Gemara learns out, we need to wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Now where do you put on the tefillin? On the hand and on the head. That's what it says. From this pasuk itself, we learn out basically almost all the laws of tefillin. Number one, the Torah says clearly first the hand and then the head. So the Torah says the order. First time for a sign on your hand. Therefore you put the hand tefillin on first. And then, as an ornament between your eyes. Therefore there's an interesting halacha. Normally there's a rule, you're not allowed to pass over mitzvahs. If you have a mitzvah in your hand, you have to do it. You can't pass it over to do another mitzvah. So therefore it says, you have to make sure, the men know this, when you take out the tefillin, you have to take out the hand tefillin first, put it on, and then take out the head tefillin first. What happens is by mistake, somebody took out the head tefillin first. Halacha says, even though really you should put that on because that's in your hand now, nevertheless, but because the Torah says the order is first hand and head, you have to put it away and put on the hand tefillin anyway. Okay? Now, before we go into more details, what is the general concept of tefillin? And you'll see why it's alavachim v'al nafshachim. You put tefillin on the hand, on the muscle, which is opposite the heart, and you put it on the head, next to the brain. Now, even though the Torah says, ulo toitafes bein einechem, and the Korites, who did not believe in the oral Torah, they took the literal meaning, bein einechem means between your eyes. So the Korites would wear tefillin here, between the eyes and the nose, because that's between the eyes. Moshe Rabbeinu was told at Har Sinai in oral tradition, that's not what it means, bein einechem, between your eyes means on the head, between the eyes, meaning you can't wear the tefillin here or here or off a little bit. The tefillin have to be here in the place between the eyes. It means they have to be centered between your eyes. But that's where the source of it is, because the Torah says bein einechem. So tradition teaches us it doesn't mean here between your eyes. It means on the head next to the brain, but in between your eyes. Okay, that means it has to be straight, and this way people look in the mirror to make sure the tefillin are not off a little bit, because then sometimes you're not even yaitza, you're not even fulfill the mitzvah of tefillin. But the Torah says to put them on the hand and on the head. What does it teach us? It says in Shulchan Aruch that when you put on tefillin, one of the few places in halacha that halacha says what you need to intend, the kavana, the intent of when you put it on. By talis it doesn't say, by many mitzvahs, most mitzvahs it doesn't say. By tefillin it says in Shulchan Aruch that when you put on tefillin, you have to have in mind that you're binding your mind and heart to God. You're binding your mind and heart to God. What does it mean you're binding your mind and heart to God? First you have the hand tefillin next to the heart, the head tefillin on top of the brain, in the tefillin is the four portions of the Shema, two other portions of the Torah, and therefore, the person needs to bind the mind and heart to God at the time they're putting on tefillin. What does it mean binding your mind and heart to God? Alavavchem v'al nafshachem. That's what it means to feel the Yiddishkeit. Not only does it mean binding your mind and heart to God, it also means that the head should control the heart. The head tefillin, by the way, I know the men know this for sure. The women, I don't know how well you look at tefillin. The head tefillin has four boxes. Okay, the four small boxes pushed together, right? To be a square. The hand tefillin has one box. Now, there are four Torah portions in the tefillin. There's Shema and V'hoyim Shemoa, and then there's Kaddish Liko B'chor and V'hoya Kiviyacha. Those are in Parshas Bo, at the end of Parshas Bo, what we say when you put on Rabbeinu Tam's Tefillin, you say those two Parshas, and you also have the Shema and V'hoyim Shemoa. And the hand tefillin, okay, in the hand tefillin, all four portions are written on one long strip of parchment. Okay? It's written on one long strip of parchment. The head tefillin is four separate, each portion is written on a separate piece of parchment. The hand tefillin is one box made out of leather, and inside is a hole. I mean, they sew it up with veins of an animal, but you put the four portions, this one long roll, into the tefillin. And then the head tefillin is the four, if you open up the inside of a head tefillin, I don't have any here. How about the stairs? But there's four different compartments, and then you put each portion into each compartment. The argument, when people know there's such a thing called Rashi's tefillin and Rabbeinu Tam's tefillin, and then there's Ravid and Shimusha Rabba and about another 70, the main two is Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. The difference between Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam is the order of the way the four portions are written.
In the Rosh.
Both? No, in the Shayad also. The Shayad, you write the tefillin, right? The four things on one long parchment. But which one do you write first, second, third, and fourth? That's the argument between Rashi, and his grandson Rabbeinu Tam, and that's why each one has its own difference. According to Rashi, Rabbeinu Tam's is possible. According to Rabbeinu Tam's, Rashi is possible. The halacha we rule in the world today is like Rashi. But according to Kabbalah, it says it's very good, proper Jew to wear the second pair of Rabbeinu Tam also, because, in fact, Kabbalistically, Rabbeinu Tam is holier than Rashi's, and Rashi's, according to Allah, is holier than Rabbeinu Tam. According to Kabbalah, Rabbeinu Tam is holier. And there's a lot of differences, by the way.
Nobody's confused. Nobody's confused. Everybody knows.
There's nothing to be confused about. The order of the portions in Rashi is one way. The order of the portions in Rabbeinu Tam is a different way. That's the whole argument.
How the different writing is it much? They do one of them is possible, one of them is
No. You have
both of them.
You know what's so nice about Judaism? There's a million opinions. Nobody can ever disagree on anything. Nobody can ever agree on anything. But that's the beauty of it. You know, you want to build a beautiful picture, yeah? You can't do it with one color. You have to have many colors, yeah? Some colors are contrast to each other, but they blend together in harmony. You create a beautiful picture. You can't have beautiful music with one instrument. A symphony is, you have a lot of different instruments. Instruments that normally clash against each other and contradict each other. But when they blend together in harmony, you end up with beautiful music.
No, they make contrast.
Judaism is made. Hashem made, this was God's plan, by the way. We don't care. We're a problem, not God. God made so many different Ashkenazic, Sephardic, Hasidic, Litvish, this Chassid, that Litvish, this, a million, it's Sephardim, you think they all agree?
Yeah.
Are you kidding? There's about a 3 million Sephardic opinions. There's only 2 million Sephardic Jews, but there's 3 million opinions. So, there's a million different opinions, but the beauty is of Judaism, when they blend together in harmony, that they all respect one another, and everybody, you know, that's really when, that's the beauty of Judaism. That's the way it's supposed to be.
That's sensitive to each other.
Before them, I was with the Philippines.
Yeah, what did they wear? It's interesting, the archaeologists, when they dug in Eretz Yisrael, from Chizkiyah Melech's time, they found tefillin and stuff. They found some like Rashi, some like Rabbeinu Tam.
Oh, wow.
It was very interesting. The Rebbe explained once in a Sikha, what did they do before Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam? No, so the answer was, before Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam, it was able to be done this way, this way, or this way. Rashi established halacha like that. I'll give you an example. Even today, when you wrap the tefillin, yeah? Some people make the shin here. Some people make the shin here. Some people wrap it this way. Some people wrap it this way. Some people, you know. So now, they're all kosher. You know, nobody's, God forbid, going to say, if you do it this way, you did the mitzvah, you did it this way, you didn't do the mitzvah, or the opposite. Everybody did the mitzvah. But what happens if it will come a time that somebody will rule, the halachic opinion will rule, no, it has to be this way. Then everybody has to do it this way. Before Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam, you're able to do it this way, you're able to do it this way, and you fulfill the mitzvah. Rashi came and established that tefillin should be this way. So in his time, it became established. In fact, Rabbeinu Tam, who is Rashi's grandson, the way the story goes, is when he was a little boy, he was sitting in Rashi's lap, and those people wore tefillin the whole day, and he took Rashi's tefillin and threw him off. This is what they say. So Rashi said, his grandfather said, he's going to have his own tefillin when he gets, you know, his own type of tefillin when he gets old. But before that, it was able to be this way or this way.
Rabbi, did you say that it says the same thing in the Rosh as in the...
Yeah.
Which is the
Shema? The four portions. Okay. Shema and Vahoyim Shema, you know? That you know. Okay. Look in Parshas B'Shalach. No, why we say B'Shalach? Boy. Okay?
Boy,
okay.
It's back of the seal, no?
Yeah, but it's easier. You have a Chumash. On page 360.
Boy.
Yeah, in Parshat Bo.
Not for us, but...
What, for you? You guys are so holy, you don't even need tefillin.
No.
Yeah, I know. They have both together. Okay, you see, I'm parash. Okay, Shema Yisrael v'hafta and v'hoyim Shema. Then everybody knows, right? Okay, then the parasha Kaddish Li Kol Bechor. You see it three lines in the bottom of the page. Vidav Hashem Mishalemer.
360
at the bottom. Starting three lines at the bottom of the page. Vidav Hashem Mishalem Kaddish Li Kol Bechor. Until the end of the paragraph on the next page.
Yeah.
That's the third paragraph in the Shema of the Tefillin. And the fourth paragraph starts for Hoya Kviyacha until the end of the parasha. Okay? So these are four paragraphs. Shema, Vahoyim Shemaya, right? Kaddishli Kol Bechor, it's called, and Vahoya Kviyacha. These are both in the head tefillin. All four of these are in the hand tefillin and in the head tefillin.
The same?
Yeah. The same four are in the head and the same four are in the hand. The difference between the hand and the head, in the hand it's written all four on one long piece of parchment. On the head tefillin, each paragraph is written on a separate piece of parchment. And the head tefillin, there's inside the tefillin four compartments. And in the hand tefillin, there's only one compartment in. But the same four parshas in the hand are in the head, and in the same order also.
So every hole has one.
In the head tefillin, yeah.
Yeah.
But in the hand tefillin, there's only one box, and inside there's only one box. In the head tefillin, if you open up, there's four boxes.
Yeah.
So these are the four parshas in the tefillin. In fact, the Rishonim discuss a very interesting question. In Parshas Bo, before the Jews left Egypt, and that those two portions also speaks about tefillin. That means, when they were leaving Egypt, they're already commanded in the mitzvah of tefillin. Correct? Now, Shema and Vahoyim Shemaya were said 40 years later in Devarim. Correct? They were said 40 years later in Devarim. So what did the Jews do for the 40 years in the Tefillin? They only had two out of the four. Those two were given in Egypt. The last two, Shema and Vahayim Shema, are given 40 years later. So what did the Jews wear in the desert? So the Rishonim write, interestingly, that there are four boxes with only two full. Because Shema and Vahayim Shema didn't have until later. But by the way, if you're missing any of the four, in the hand and the head, not kosher. Another important halachic misconception, by the way, which is even very practical today, the hand tefillin and the head tefillin are two separate mitzvahs. One is not dependent on the next. God forbid if somebody doesn't have hands. They still need to wear the head tefillin. It's a separate mitzvah. It's not like lulav and esrig. If you're missing one of the four, you can't do the mitzvah at all. The hand tefillin is one mitzvah. The head tefillin is a separate mitzvah. One is not necessarily dependent on the next. What have you don't have a head? You still put on the hand.
So you should look to Baha.
That's a whole discussion in halacha. If you only put on the head, you make one bracha and two brachas. We hold you make one bracha, others say you make two brachas. If only putting, in fact, right before I came here, somebody called me about tefillin. Guy doesn't have a hand. One of the two hands he doesn't have. So he says, so it really depends. Because we learned before, in Parshas Bo, by the way, or we discussed it in Shema, when it says, that you have to put it on the weaker hand. You have to put tefillin on the weaker hand. Because when it says in Parshas Bo, Yodcha, now normally in Hebrew, Yodcha is written like here. Well, here it says Yodchem. Yud, Dalet, Long, Chof, right? Chof, Safit. Over there it's written, Yud, Dalet, Chof, Hey. Yodcha is written Yud Dalet Chav Hei. which is read Yad Keha. Keha means the weaker hand. The weaker hand. So the Torah over there says it should be La'is al Yad Kha. You have to put tefillin on your weaker hand. Therefore, if you're right-handed, your weaker hand is the left. If you're left-handed, your weaker hand is the right.
And if you have one of the hands, you use the...
Now, if you have only one hand, now if, let's say, you weren't born that way. Let's say God, a person had two hands.
What
and,
about if somebody had a stroke and one hand is not working?
So you still put on, if that was the hand they put the phone on, yeah, they still put the phone on that hand.
On the same hand. And if there is one hand...
So again, if it's the hand that he would have to put tefillin on the weaker hand, you still do it. So somebody else would have to do it for them. But if it's, let's say, God forbid, they lose the left hand and the right hand, they you don't put on tefillin. You don't put on the hand tefillin.
No.
You only put on the head tefillin. Yeah. What?
Does tefillin have to be checked, like mezuzahs have to be checked?
Yeah.
So, the whole... This for the tying on the tefillin is includes the shin and the yud on the hand. So, a person has the arm but doesn't have the hand.
No, the main part of the mitzvah is the box. Okay, if a person, and this happens in hospitals, you know, they have intravenous or they have bandages or casts. A person has a cast, correct? So. And because the Torah says al yotcha, okay, and beinenecha, it has to be on the actual skin. You can't put tefillin over a sweater or over your suit jacket. In fact, somebody used to call me tonight about this also. He goes to the guy to put on tefillin, the guy refuses to take off his sweater. So you can't put the tefillin on the hand with these two, right before he came here tonight. Different people, by the way. You can't put tefillin over a sweater with the bracha, because it's not on your hand. But the main part of the tefillin, halachically, is the box on the muscle. This is all custom. So if somebody, let's say, has a cast from the elbow down, and above the elbow is clear, they put on tefillin with the bracha, and then they just wrap the straps over the cast. It doesn't matter. But if the cast, let's say, God forbid, goes all the way up to the shoulder, so then the custom is to put on tefillin without a bracha, but then you put on the head tefillin with the bracha. No. Putting on the other hand is not going to help.
Why?
Because the Torah says, Yad Cho, Yad Keo. You have to put on the weaker hand.
Lefty.
That doesn't, no, it's not, it doesn't, no, it's not, it does not your weaker hand. It's still, it's maybe your available hand, but it's not your weaker hand.
If you're lefty, you can put it in the right side.
You have to put it on the right hand.
So the right hand is not closely out.
Yes, it is. The heart's in the middle. Did you go to school?
No.
The heart is exactly over here.
No, it's close to the left.
It's centered towards the left.
Left.
Okay.
To left.
Now, if it's here, and you put it here, it's also facing the heart. It's not as close, but it's still... it's not a cigar, but it's close. What do you think? It's still, again, opposite the heart.
You made a distinction, seemingly, between a person who started out with two arms, hands, whatever, lost one versus somebody born.
Probably then he might have to put on without a bracha, probably. But that I have to double check.
Can you talk between the Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam?
Yeah.
You could talk. It says, though, you should put on right as soon as possible because... You don't want to make a sep because the bracha of Rashi officially is supposed to go for Rabbeinu Tam also. So it's best not to talk.
And if you do a mistake, you start by Rabbeinu Tam.
What?
If you start
first
by Rabbeinu Tam,
you
make the tefillin and you start by Rabbeinu Tam.
Oh, that always happens.
Yeah,
it always happens. It says in Svarim that inevitably, once a life, those that put on Rabbeinu Tam every day, once a lifetime, you make a mistake, put them on instead of Rashi's, and you may end up making a bracha. They say those are put, eventually will make one time in their lifetime a bracha on Rabbeinu Tam. It always happens. So it depends if you didn't talk,
some
if
more.
You talked, huh?
Some of that's more.
Some more than others, yeah.
You should don't take it out. You should leave it on.
Some people, in fact, the Sfardim, a lot of Sfardim that put a Rabbeinu Tam's tune, put and simultaneously.
Both together.
Both together.
Yeah.
But not here and here.
Yeah.
That's not good. Because then it's not between your eyes. It's here and behind it. Because the place of tefillin is from middle of the head to the end of the hairline. That shorosh is supposed to be on the head, but not below the hairline.
When you see the
or if you're bald, where it used to be. Right?
See a little bit this off.
But you can't have two tefillin next to each other. Mm-hmm. The Gemara says, Yesh mokum berosh, laniach shnei zugei tefillin. The Gemara says, there's place in the head to put on. How? One in front and one behind it. So they have small tefillin. And they put, here on the hand, they put next to each other. Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam, and they wrap 14 times around. No, they do double.
Yeah, they double it.
They double it, which is another issue. That's whatever. But that's what they do. And they double it. In other words, they wrap seven times.
Rabbeinu Tam is on top of the Rashi?
I think they put the Rabbeinu Tam on top of the Rashi. I believe
so. So, but it's not connected to the Riskin anymore?
Yeah, but because it's min b'mina in achaitz, it's also the Ritzu of the Tefillin, so it's not a separation. Because it's not something else separating it. It's the actual thing itself.
So like I have a leather jacket on.
No, but it's a different leather.
I put my tefillin on top of my leather jacket?
No. Because there's other stuff in the leather jacket anyway.
So what was the ruling in terms of you made the mistake, you made the bracha, and it's Rabbeinu Tam?
If it's right away, you put on, you take off the Rabbeinu Tam, and you put on Rashi without a bracha.
And you caught it at the end of davening.
As long as you didn't talk other things, you could put it on right away without a bracha.
Is it customary to have both sets of tefillin?
A lot of Sfardim do. Most of the Hasidic world does it after they're married. And in fact, Chabad was a very interesting custom. It changed. When we were growing up, we started Rabbeinu Tam at 18. Not at Bar Mitzvah. In my days, nobody put very few exceptions that the Rebbe told individuals you should start putting on tefillin Rabbeinu Tam at Bar Mitzvah. In our days, the custom was on our 18th birthday, we asked the Rebbe if we should start wearing Rabbeinu Tam, and 95% of the time the Rebbe said yes. The condition was that you had your own pair, or you were in a place where, in fact, there's a story of two Australian Bachrim, I know who they are, came to the Rebbe, talking about in the 1950s, early 50s. And they asked the Rebbe about Rabbeinu Tam, and they were traveling together. Because once you start wearing Rabbeinu Tam, you can't do one day yeah, one day no. Mm. Once you start Rabbeinu Tam, you cannot, that's it, it's permanent. You can't one day yeah, one day no. That, it's better not to start doing it. You have to always do it constantly. So they asked the Rebbe about putting Rabbeinu Tam's tefillin. So one of them had, and one of them didn't have. One owned the pair, one didn't. So the Rebbe said to the one that didn't have, you should wait until you get home, because then you'll know you have a pair. So he said to the Rebbe, but I'm traveling with this guy, so he has a pair, so it'll be good for me. The Rebbe like, you want it? Okay. They traveled back to Australia, they became separated. So the guy started putting Rabbeinu Tam. They became separated, and a few days back, he didn't have Rabbeinu Tams. He knew he should have listened. The Rebbe said, when you get to Australia, you start wearing Rabbeinu Tams too.
So it's customary upon Bar Mitzvah.
No, now, later in the 1970s, because according to many opinions, you're not allowed to wear Rabbeinu Tam until you're more mature and, you know, whatever. And the Rebbe said, he knows all that, and he wants that from Bar Mitzvah, we start wearing Rabbeinu Tams too.
Months before.
Well, at Bar Mitzvah. Now, Chabad puts on tefillin 2 months before Bar Mitzvah. So the
both
2 months.
Them or one of them?
No, so the 2 months before Bar Mitzvah, you put on both.
What's the difference? Is the same bracha in both of them, just different order?
It's different. Yeah, listen. You know, a different order in the world makes a lot of differences. You know, if you build a mile long bridge, yeah, and you're a quarter of an inch off in your measurements, you know what's going to happen?
It's going to be
5 foot off at
the end. It's gonna. But not only that, you know what's gonna happen when people drive on the bridge? It can.
Probably shake.
Yeah. Now shake. It's gonna collapse. Yeah. Now the question is, it's a mile long bridge. You know how long a mile is? How many feet? Over 5,000 feet is a mile. Yeah.
And
I know. But I also went to school. And if you are a quarter of an inch, you know what a quarter of an inch compared to 5,000 feet? It's minuscule. Who cares? You know what happens? God forbid, the bridge collapses. And that's it. And you can't say, oh, it's such a little difference. Who cares? When it comes to important things, you know, God forbid, a person gets hit by a bullet. It can miss, you know, by an eighth of an inch can make a difference, life or death. You know, if a guy is doing brain surgery or heart surgery, and the surgeon is a half an inch off, or a quarter of an inch off, God forbid, you're talking the difference between life and death. The order, everything has its place in the holiness, and it has its meaning, and it has to be that way. And, you know, Rabbeinu Tam is a level of Chochma, Rashi is a level of Bina. You know, there's an interesting discussion. The head tefillin, because it's four boxes, is holier than the hand tefillin, which is one box. Right? That's why you go up in Kedusha, besides the other things we'll discuss in the Pasuk. So it says, can I change a strap from the hand tefillin for the head tefillin? Can I make a hand tefillin strap for a head tefillin? The answer is yes, because it's going up. I'm elevating it. Can I take a head tefillin strap and use it for a hand tefillin? No, because I'm going down. Okay? So now the question is like this. Can I take a strap for Rashi and use it for Rabbeinu Tam? Or can I take a strap for Rabbeinu Tam and use it for Rashi? Or the box? The box is the same, more or less. Yeah? Can I take a Rashi box and use it for Rabbeinu Tam? Can I take a Rabbeinu Tam box and use it for Rashi? So if you look in Halacha, it says, well, Rashi is holier than Rabbeinu Tam. So you can go from Rabbeinu Tam to Rashi, but you can't go from Rashi to Rabbeinu Tam because you're going down. Right? In Kabbalah it says the opposite. The Rabbeinu Tam is holier, so you can go from Rashi to Rabbeinu Tam, but not Rabbeinu Tam to Rashi. Therefore, what does it say? You go either way. You don't go either way. You don't go from Rashi to Rabbeinu Tam, you don't take from here to there because you don't know which one's holier. This is what it says. G'shartum leisa yedchem. This is plural.
But things can be done in different orders.
Not necessarily. Yeah, but if the Torah says it has to be done in this particular way, like here the Torah says, whenever the Torah speaks about tefillin, in four times in the Chumash, every time the Torah speaks first the hand and the head. Mm-hmm. Or in Shema, here, whenever the Torah speaks about tefillin, the Torah speaks first the hand, first the head. And by the way, the Baditchever once said, Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Baditchever said, the hand tefillin represents action. Action. The head tefillin represents intellect. What are these two Jews? Jews that are simple Jews that do simple mitzvahs, and then you have the intellectual scholars. So Baditchever said, what tefillin do you put on first? The simple Jew tefillin. The simple Jew tefillin comes before the scholarly tefillin. Why? Because in many respects, the hand, the action, you know, if you have meditation all about the mitzvah of tefillin, and you think all the intent and Kabbalistic intent and all the things, but you didn't put it on, you didn't get the mitzvah. And if you just put it on with minimal intent, and you get the mitzvah. So action speaks louder than intellect. And therefore this represents the simple Jew, and this represents the intellectual Jew, but first you put on the hand tefillin.
Now, I have a question.
What?
If for some reason a man is somewhere where there is no access to tefillin, he can still daven?
Let me explain something. These are all like misconceptions. There's a separate mitzvah of tefillin. There's a separate mitzvah of davening. There's a separate mitzvah of reading the Shema. These are three distinct mitzvahs that have absolutely nothing to do with each other. Okay? If somebody puts on a pair of tefillin and says Shema, they did the mitzvah of davening, of tefillin. Did they get the mitzvah of davening? No. They got the mitzvah of Shema, by the way. But for that matter, if somebody just puts on tefillin and says, hi, how are you? Okay? He got the mitzvah of tefillin. It's customary to say Shema because that's what's in the tefillin, so you say it. But if somebody just puts on tefillin and doesn't say a word, they get the mitzvah of tefillin. Now, in the olden day, and if you notice, the Torah doesn't connect davening to tefillin. The Torah says put on tefillin. And therefore, those that wore tefillin in the time of the Gemara, they wore tefillin the whole day. Except when they went into the market, you know, in dirty places, alleys where there was dirt or whatever, then they took them off. But they would wear tefillin the whole day. Now, we wear tefillin only at the time of davening. We limit, because tefillin needs bodily respect. You can't pass gas. A lot of just bodily ability to treat it, and therefore it demands, so we only wear it during davening.
But why not?
Because once you put it on once a day, you did the mitzvah. Tefillin are too holy. You have to have proper thoughts. You have to have proper thoughts the whole time. And in fact, that's why we find an interesting thing. Kids wear tzitzis, they bench lulav and esrog, they do all the mitzvahs, right? But tefillin, we don't let kids wear until 2 months before our custom. Some people do it a week before bar mitzvah, some people don't do it until the bar mitzvah. Some svartim, by the way, had a minig, somebody told me in Morocco, some of them put on tefillin at 11. That's what I was told. I know. Somebody told me in Morocco they did it at 11. Some Moroccans that used to be here told me they did it at 11. I don't know. Certain tzaddikim did it earlier. Their fathers who were rebbes told them they should, because they were different caliber people. But as a rule, why doesn't a 10-year-old kid wear tefillin? He benches lulav, he davens, he does all the mitzvahs. Why doesn't he do tefillin? Because tefillin are so holy that if you don't have to do it, you're not allowed to do it. Because it's very difficult to be respectful in controlling our thoughts and our body. Again, no passing gas, no burping, no hiccuping. There's a lot of difficult, and your thoughts. Right? You're not allowed to remove your mind. You can't think about women, you can't think about this. It has to be pure thoughts. So therefore, that's one of the reasons, by the way, one of the reasons, there's other reasons, why halachically women don't wear tefillin. If they do lulav and they do sukkah and they do a lot of other shofar, why can't they do tefillin? The answer is because tefillin are so holy. If you don't have to do it, you're not allowed to do it. That's what halacha says. What?
It seems to me, some of the things you mentioned, like hiccuping, passing gas, burping, those are involuntary actions.
I know, but people have to control themselves. That's why kids don't wear tefillin. One of the reasons. Huh?
Not go to the restroom or something.
No, if you go there, they'll go to the restroom. You have to take off your tefillin.
Yeah. But when I was a kid, they teach me that when you put the tefillin, you get connection to the God. You're thinking good. You're doing a good job at days, from brain side.
And the hand tefillin?
Hunting for working hard.
As I said, it connects to the actions and mind. Yeah, it's same thing.
I was a kid, they
told me. You were a kid?
When I was a kid.
I didn't know you were a kid.
Well, I was.
You were?
I remember. It's good.
Okay, anyway. He says like this. We're not done yet, but one a few more things about the tefillin. The Torah says, V'hoyu l'toytofes bein einecha. I don't see, the men know this, the women are not going to know this. When you put on the tefillin, because the Torah says the order, so first you put on the hand tefillin, then you put on the head tefillin. When you take off the tefillin, you take off the head tefillin first. Right? And then you take off the hand tefillin. Why? So the Gemara says, because it says, V'hoyu l'totofot is plural. Which means, The word totofes is plural. That when it's bein einechem, they're supposed to both be there. Both signs. The hand and the head. Totofes is plural. So the Gemara learns out that whenever, unless, God forbid, you're not putting on the hand tefillin, then you have no choice. But if you're wearing both, you should not have the head tefillin on alone without the hand tefillin. Because it says totofes, plural, that when it's bein einechem, it has to be both together. And another interesting difference, by the way, not from here so much, but it says "Ksharta la'is v'ayu l'cha la'is ayotcha." Not in Shema, but it says the hand tefillin have to be assigned for you. By the head tefillin, it doesn't say "Totofes bein einechem." From there, the Poskim learn out a very interesting halacha. The hand tefillin are allowed to be covered. The hand tefillin people cover. The head tefillin are not supposed to be covered. They're supposed to be open. Because by the hand tefillin, the Torah says in Parshas Bo, "V'ayol l'cha la'is." It's for you a sign. You means for yourself, so it could be covered only for yourself. And there's many people, by the way, cover their hand tefillin even with a little box, not to ruin it, but the head tefillin, you can't put any cover. You ever notice the hand box has a cover and the head box not? Why? Because the hand tefillin are allowed to be covered. Because it says, l'cha la'is, it has to be a sign for you. The head tefillin, it doesn't say l'cha, so they have to be open. And,
can you put your talus over your...
Yeah, but according to Kabbalah, you don't cover the whole tefillin, you're supposed to cover only the back. And it's interesting, there's a passage that we learned already, just briefly. All the nations of the earth will see God's name is upon you and they'll be afraid of you. And the Gemara says, Elu tefillin shebarosh. That's the head tefillin. Why? Because the head tefillin are open. And the hand tefillin, the goyim don't necessarily see because it's covered. In fact, many people put their sleeve over the whole tefillin. We don't, but many people cover the whole tefillin with their sleeve. Huh? Oh, whatever. Yeah. But the head tefillin halachically has to be open. Okay, we'll leave this here.